What is the view from heaven? Daniel chapter 7 will show us what it looks like from heaven, looking upon the earth. Why do mighty nations come and go? From where do they come? And where are they going? Yet all this happens for the benefit of the church. In Daniel chapter 2, there is a vision of an image that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon saw. It was made up of four metals representing mighty nations. A stone is cut out without hands and thrown at the feet of the image. And it brings the image down. That is, it brings the four nations down. And the stone itself turns into a big mountain representing the kingdom of God as it fills the earth. Daniel 7 is really just another look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 shows how kingdoms look to man. But Daniel chapter 7 shows how kingdoms look to God. There are also some parallels with Revelation 13. But I'm not going to go to Revelation 13 today. I'll be doing that sometime this year when I finally take you through the book of Revelation. Daniel chapter 7 shows that regardless of the ferocity of the nations, God knows us, His church, and builds history around us. Now, when we come to Daniel 7, the emphasis of this chapter is that regardless of how awful things seem to be, God is in charge and His kingdom shall prevail. Although our temptation, just like what Daniel himself does, is to focus on the fourth kingdom that we'll be seeing here, and especially upon the horns that are on the beast that's revealed, and especially upon the 11th horn. But God wants Daniel, and God wants us to see that His emphasis, His attention, is upon the kingdom of God. We tremble before worldly powers. But the truth is, world powers tremble before the church. Now, come on, Don, how is that? Well, just look at the efforts that are being made in our nation alone to try and silence the church and to do everything they can to get any mention of God and anything about the church out of all phases of the government and the school and public life. Yes, they tremble before the kingdom of God as it rules here in this land. Therefore, Daniel chapter 7 is about the beast and beauty. Let's look now at Daniel chapter 7, starting with verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. This dream is before the events of chapters 5 and 6, which we looked at last week. The first six chapters are in chronological order. The last six chapters are events that happen during the things that we saw in those first six chapters. Now watch what Daniel sees in verses 2 through 8. And Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And great beasts, four great beasts, came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to him. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Look at the great sea, the Mediterranean, and see winds from every direction out of heaven stirring up the sea. And then something comes out of the sea. 4 great, unusual, and diverse beasts. The first beast is a combination of a lion, an eagle, and a man. The eagle's wings that give it speed are plucked off, showing what we learned in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation. Then it is lifted up off the earth and made to stand like a man. And it receives a man's heart because, as we saw in that chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is finally restored to his kingdom and his kingdom to him. The second beast looks like a bear. This bear is raised up on one side, showing the greater strength of the Persians over the Medes. 3 ribs are in its teeth, showing the 3 nations, Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt, that it will conquer. Someone commands it to arise and devour much flesh. But the Medes and the Persians are not fast like the flying lion of Babylon, but slower and lumbering like a bear. Then in verse 6, there's the 3rd beast that looks like a leopard with 4 wings on its back. Leopards are quick and able to leap on its prey. And with 4 bird wings, it moves even faster. This pictures Alexander Great and his mighty Grecian army that in 11 years conquered all these other areas, starting when he was only 22 years old and ending with his death when he was 33. The 4 heads are the 4 generals who then divide up his empire upon his death. And they have dominion over that whole area. But the 4th beast. The 4th beast is so different that Daniel does not compare it to any known beast. The other beasts are, for the most part, one animal with one or two parts of other animals attached to it. This 4th beast is actually, according to Revelation chapter 13, which shows the same beast, a combination of all the other ones put together. They are the same beast in Daniel 7 here and in Revelation 13. This beast is dreadful, terrible, and very strong. It has huge iron teeth like the iron legs of Nebuchadnezzar's image. It destroys everything with its feet. And he shows that it has 10 horns. Daniel then focuses in on those horns, and another horn, an 11th, that arises. And this horn plucks up 3 of the other horns. This horn has man-like eyes and a mouth with pompous words. Then in verses 9 and 10, he shows us that the Ancient of Days holds court. I watched till heavens were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Daniel keeps watching this amazing sight. Then he sees thrones put in place. And the Ancient of Days, God Himself, sits on one of the thrones. His holiness is pictured with pure snow and pure wool. And He sits on fire. His throne, He said, is fire. And this throne of fire has wheels of fire. And from the throne of fire comes forth fire. And look at the numbers standing before him and ministering to him. Myriads upon myriads, or thousands upon thousands. And then he says, 10,000 times 10,000, which is 100 million. Plus the other figure that to which he referred, that we don't even have that exact number. And what are they all doing here? What are they all doing in the court of heaven? Well, God is holding court. And all the images of fire show that it is time for judgment. And God has brought His court together. God has everything in control. Now, it doesn't look like that on the earth with all these beasts and the things they do. But there's God behind the scenes up in heaven. And He has it all under control. And the beasts are now judged in verses 11 and 12. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Because of the pompous words of the 11th horn, the beast is slain, destroyed, and burned with fire. But the other beasts have their dominion taken away, but they continue, he says, for a season and a time. Now, look what happens. Not necessarily following in chronological order here, but happening along with the events of this fourth beast. Watch what happens in verses 13 and 14. A spectacular sight. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel sees one like a Son of Man approaching. He approaches or arrives on the clouds of heaven, which tells us that he's not been in heaven. He's been somewhere else. Then the clouds of heaven retrieve him And Daniel sees coming up into heaven this Son of Man on the clouds of heaven. Daniel in his vision is like, it's like he's in heaven itself. He sees a most spectacular sight. Something that later 11 men would witness from another perspective. There is only one who is both a Son of Man and has received an eternal kingdom. There is only one whom the clouds of heaven retrieved and carried to the Ancient of Days in heaven. This is a picture of the Son of God at His ascension. Now, we are used to seeing this from the perspective of the Gospels. That is, from the earth. But in Daniel's vision, we are looking down from heaven upon the earth. We've been seeing the great sea with all these nations on the earth. We're still looking down on that, and then we see the clouds of heaven bringing up to heaven, because the clouds have gone down there to get them, and now they bring up to heaven the Son of Man. Acts chapter 1 shows the magnificent sight that made the apostles gawking like a hawk at the magnificent sight. Let me give you Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Judas is dead. Jesus has been with his apostles for 40 days. And he's about ready to go up into heaven. And watch what happens in Acts 1, starting at verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Daniel saw the ascending Christ, at least in the form of prophecy. Then the 11 apostles see that spectacular sight that Daniel had spoken about centuries before. But the two men, the two angels speaking to the 11 apostles, inform them that the time will come when he will come back down out of heaven and he'll be on the clouds of heaven. And we'll get to see that sight. We'll get to see what Daniel saw and what the apostles saw. May the God in heaven hasten the time of that day. Now, back in Daniel 7, verse 14, what does the Son of Man receive? When he gets up there to heaven, when he gets up there from his ascension, after his crucifixion and resurrection, he receives an everlasting dominion, glory, and an indestructible kingdom. Therefore, it is said up there in heaven that all people should serve him. When the Son of Man ascends to heaven, he receives the kingdom. He does not descend later to start his kingdom, but to simply get it and bring it back up into heaven with him. Now let's look at verses 15 through 18. "I, Daniel, was grieved within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are four are four kings or kingdoms which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The dream troubles Daniel. He saw dreadful things, and he doesn't know the meaning of them. Therefore, he asked one of the millions who are present for the interpretation. He asks, he receives. He is told that the four beasts are four kings or kingdoms. And so that would lead us to conclude that the great sea is the earth that produces these kingdoms. Nevertheless, in spite of the terror of the beast, God and his kingdom shall prevail. Nevertheless, the beasts seek to conquer the world, but the saints of God are the ones who do what the beasts can never do. They prevail all over the earth. Now watch what happens in verses 19 to 22. Daniel wants more understanding about this fourth beast. And then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others. Exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and about the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints, prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. But Daniel's obviously more curious about the fourth beast, so much so that he repaints the picture of it for us, even adding some details that he didn't give before, such as the reference to the bronze nails and so on. Adding in verse 21 that this beast also makes war with the saints of God and prevails against them until finally the Ancient of Days puts an end to it, rendering a judgment in favor of the Most High, and then they possess the kingdom of the beast. There is a passage in Revelation chapter 11, which I believe shows the fulfillment of these things, and it's a key verse, one of the key passages to understanding the book of Revelation. What is the book of Revelation about? If you can nail down Revelation 11:15, it'll help you to understand what God is revealing in the book of revealing. Here's what he says in Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Now, did you see what was said there? The kingdoms of the world become the possession of the kingdom of God. The saints of God possess those kingdoms. And what just happened in Daniel chapter 7? God renders judgment in favor of His people, and they possess that kingdom that for a while was about ready to stamp out His people from the earth. Okay, let's go back to Daniel 7. Take a look now at verses 23 through 27. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings, who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. But he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall be seated. That's where God is, the Ancient of Days, on his fiery throne with the wheels of fire and so on. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Well, sticking with the pattern that's in Daniel 2, this beast has to be the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is like iron and ferocious as a wild lion, bear, and leopard, not letting anything stop it. Even the kingdom of God. So much so that it appears as though it's about ready to wipe out the kingdom of God from the earth. In verses 24 and 25 here, the kings, we're told, or the horns, are kings of the fourth kingdom. And an 11th one shall be unique, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall blaspheme the Most High, persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall seek to change times and law. And he will gain the upper hand over the saints for a time, times, and half a time. However, the court of heaven will take away the dominion of the 11th horn, destroy the beast. And finally, then the people of God's kingdom prevail and possess all kingdoms. The book of Revelation provides a greater understanding, showing the might of the Roman emperors as they persecute the saints for 3.5 centuries. And then suddenly, almost overnight, the saints gain the empire, but later it becomes its own enemy in the form of the Holy Roman Empire. Look at how this chapter now ends. Verse 28. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel is troubled, but he keeps the matter secret, at least for a while, until he writes it down and then others copy it. Now we have the copy, or our copies of the book of Daniel today. I think the main thing that we should gain from this chapter is this. We should learn to see the world, planet Earth, and all that is on it, as the dominion of the church kingdom. For example, look at the changes suddenly happening in the Arab and Muslim world. Do you remember the rapid and sudden downfall of the communist world? I mean, it just happened. It was unexpected. It was overnight. Then all of a sudden, their doors opened to the gospel, and Christians flooded in there. In fact, this congregation, before I ever came here, you were sending people over into parts of that part of the world. That same thing was happening, as was happening here in Daniel chapter 7. Pray that the Muslim world will open its doors to the gospel, as the former communist world has. Arab governments are changing right now before our eyes. History is being made, if you're listening to the news. And former Muslims are open to the gospel. I believe it was this last Wednesday or the Wednesday before that Brother Wayne Duncan, one of our deacons here, read to us some information that shows this very thing happening, for example, in Bahrain, I believe it is, and some other places. Things are happening. There's these great kingdoms that prevail against the church to where it seems like it's not even existent there. And then suddenly God renders judgment and his people begin to possess that place where they are. And they grow in numbers. May those people be ready to obey the gospel. But of course, right here in America, you and I as Americans must be ready to obey the gospel, and we must do it immediately without any more hesitation. Once we know the truth, once we know Jesus Christ and are fully convinced that He's the Son of God and that He died for my sins, and that if I don't take advantage of His death, I shall die in my sins. Once I know that, don't delay. It's time to obey. Come forward right now if you need to do so as we stand and sing.